Hey, welcome to the show. This is the Security Guys Podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Roger Kimmick.
And I'm Everett Gray. You know, we're going to change up the format a little bit today because I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of talk a little bit more to Roger Kimmick. As many know, me and Roger run a territory together for AFUN, and we have a blast doing it. We strategize together, we laugh together, we even camp together.
Yeah,
and
man.
So when you spend time with a person, yeah, when you spend time with a person as much as we do, you really start to see the things that you admire. And there are many things I admire about Roger, but one thing that kind of stuck out and I thought would be a good subject matter is Roger's analytical mind. He has it's a skill set, really, of being able to ask very, like, just thought-provoking questions, good questions that kind of lead you into what you're looking for. And for those that are starting in our industry, even for those that are tenured, you're going to find that being able to ask good questions is going to get you to where you want to get to with your customers. You find out their needs. So I appreciate it, Roger. Thanks for letting me, you know, interview you here and ask a couple questions.
Yeah, I'm scared, man. I know you'll be nice, but I dropped this on you last episode, and so you're returning the favor with the with one dropping it on me. Looking forward to it, man.
No, man, nothing's being dropped on you. Come on, we're gonna be kind. No, it really is. I'm speaking genuinely, right? That it's really a skill set. I see it within our meetings when we have with customers, or even when we have internal meetings. The questions you generate are outstanding. And so,
thanks,
let me ask you this first question. So, how do you approach understanding a topic or situation before formulating a question?
I'm affectionately known by my family and my wife and brother and sisters-in-law and stuff as Research Roger. And it's just kind of, it's a genuine curiosity that I like to learn and understand as much stuff as I possibly can. So on the non-business side of that, what that looks like is, you know, if we're planning a camping trip, let's say, or if we're planning a road trip, I'm going to look up what places we're going to stop at ahead of time, how far it is between them and everything. And I'm not really like a numbers guy, except that I've kind of turned into it, but I'm interested and I want to learn more about stuff before going into it. And so I think that's kind of a precursor to the answer and saying, like, I want to try and learn as much as I possibly can on my own about a topic before kind of going into it. So, yeah, that's kind of the first part of that question, I think. Did I answer it, or is there kind of the other part of that I want to track with?
It definitely does. And I see that, obviously. And so really what you're saying is that natural form of curiosity just kind of travel, or it carries over into your professional life as well, right?
Yeah. And I really just want to try and, like, I like learning stuff, and which is kind of funny because in school, that wasn't really me. I didn't really appreciate learning until probably after school, really. And I didn't learn what I was kind of decent at understanding until really the end of college. A little bit of background. I was a communications and advertising major at Cal State Fullerton. And part of the reason why I chose that was, so I went to junior college and had general education. And I kind of said, all right, well, it's time to transfer. What can keep my attention long enough to get a degree? Because that's what I'm supposed to do here. And so I figured advertising was interesting to me. The other part of that question was, what can I be done with math on? And communications, I had enough classes done that the math was done at that point. I'd have to keep going to do, you know, higher level mathematics and everything. But what was kind of funny is, especially in sales now, how it kind of translates with me is that I like you talked about that, the analytical mind and approach that I have for a lot of stuff in sales is one of my upper division classes for advertising. We started to talk about the first day of class. He showed us craps and taught us how to play craps, which was kind of cool because I never knew how to play craps. But he talks about the odds and everything like that. But in that class, we talked about media buys, and so that kind of became my thing in all the advertising stuff. Is that I have kind of a creative thinking aspect of stuff, but I'm not a creative. Which, like, my wife is an artist, really. Like, she's a musician, writer, a dancer, and everything like that. But she's an artist. I'm creative, mm-hmm. but not a creative. And so like in that, I'm looking at kind of how to tweak things a lot of times. So with all of that, in that class, I learned about media buys. And really when that translated to me was that numbers mean something. Media buys, for those of you that don't know, are what they refer to as CPM, or cost per mil. Cost per million is basically cost per thousand touches, essentially. So whether it's in the digital or publication, print, or online, whatever media space, it's how many engagements you might have. And so it's gauging that cost against it. So that's the first thing that kind of engaged me with numbers and having application for things. And so kind of that's, mm-hmm. sorry, long answer to some stuff, but that's kind of how, why those of us that work with me, I dive deep into the sales reports and everything, because I want to understand it, but it's,
sure.
It's because yep. those numbers mean something now versus just, you know, 2 + 2 yeah. equals 4. Okay. Well, yep. 2 + 2 = 4, you know, so understanding right. those things, almost like applied mathematics, if you will, that's really what's got my interest in it. And so, especially in sales, like when I'm looking at the sales yeah. reports, or, you know, I have an avenue to impact what I earn and make, like these numbers mean something. They mean something to me providing for my sure. family, you know? So like, so I want to learn and understand all that stuff. So
wait, you care about what you make, you care about money.
I'm in sales. That was the genesis of why I wanted to be into sales, is because I wanted to have an influence over my revenue stream. Yeah. That was, was exactly why I got into sales, is because I wanted an impact on it. And I wanted to say, you know, so, yes, I care about selling, because it goes on the competitive side of me too, that I like to win, but I like to make money, and earn from doing yes, well and yes. doing the job well. And when we win, we make money. So that's, yes, I'm in sales. That's what I like to do.
That's right. Yeah. I know we were chatting, I think a day or two ago, and talking about numbers, and, I liked what you said, and maybe you can share it, but it was in regards to how, you know, when we look at the numbers and we're asking questions and the numbers that, you know, within our reports or whatever, we can see a story, right? But what did you say in regards to what the numbers telling the story?
It doesn't tell the whole story. You can look at numbers and kind of, yeah, the X's and O's, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like you can say one thing, but it's not, you have to have that understanding yep. and that personal touch to understand, like, what is it, like, talk to the person, what's actually happening here, you know? Yeah. Numbers can tell a story, but don't tell the whole story.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I've seen that over the years in my career too, is you can get lost in the numbers and mm-hmm. forget that there's variables behind that number, you know? And so, yeah, I just thought that was a really good point you brought up.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and it's kind of a two-part question. First part is, can you share an experience where you had to ask probing questions to uncover underlying issues or perspectives? And how did you navigate any potential resistance or reluctance that you may have come mm-hmm. across? So that first part, do you have an experience that you could share when trying to uncover underlying issues or perspectives by questions?
Yeah, I think some of it comes from more of at my previous company, KBC Networks. I did on the sales side of it, but I was also doing tech support and troubleshooting. So customers would call in and talk to us about their system. And so through troubleshooting, you have to ask questions. You know, that company in particular, KBC, we did mm-hmm. at that time, we did a lot of wireless, point-to-point wireless systems. And all that you get told when somebody calls in on a tech support call is, hey, this doesn't work, or hey, I'm having trouble with this. Okay, let's start right. here. And you have to ask, what about this? What about this? You have to kind of ask the questions to be able to diagnose what you think is going on. So that's kind of asking some of those probing questions, I suppose. And then from that, you can kind of, okay, so here's what I think is happening. Let's test this hypothesis and kind of address it from there. So right. those are some of the probing questions that I think that's kind of an instance that I mm-hmm. thought of first whenever you asked me that. Was from troubleshooting. Mm. It goes into that and trying to discover what the issue is, what the challenge is, so that you can overcome it together.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I am thinking as you're talking here of my own experience too. Just when you're troubleshooting, that's the first question mm-hmm. you ask is what has changed, right? If it's working, and it stopped working. Yeah. Well,
is it a new install? Is it a new install, or has it been working for a while? Okay, it's been working for a while. What changed?
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for that one, wireless, because it used license-free wireless, it's been working. And then they built up all these places around here. Oh, and I see a bunch of new antennas on this thing. Like, well, you might want to check out what those are, you know, and see about changing frequencies or whatever. But yeah, that was always a fun one. Or for us now with stuff, say my IP system worked and now it stopped working. Okay. Well, they changed, you know, the firewall settings and new switches and everything and a whole new bank of IP addresses. Okay. Well, maybe we might want to look at that, you know. So on the sales side, that same idea of discovery that we talked about for troubleshooting, you know, when we get a call saying, hey, I'd like an intercom system or I'd like a quote on this series, you know, my usual response, it starts with the probing question. My usual response starts with, okay, what are we trying to do? Like, tell me about your job. Tell me about the application. What are we trying to accomplish here? And that kind of leads down a series of other questions that follow that lead us to the desired outcome, you know, kind of those decision paths or choice paths that you see the diagrams of. That's kind of what my mind starts to think of is, okay, what do I need to know here? Okay, let me ask this question, yes or no. This question, yes or no. This question, how many? You know, it categorizes it that way. So it's kind of that flow chart is kind of how my mind thinks of it. So that's kind of on the sales side, that's usually where I think of in regards to that. Those probing questions are more following that path to get to the outcome or get to the next decision point. Going back to your kind of first question about like what leads into or kind of how I approach different scenarios, I think part of it is not assuming that you know everything. And also to the contrary of that, it's like assuming that you don't know everything. It's probably even a better way. Like, right. So when I'll go into on the sales side of it, so as the manufacturer's reps that we are, we'll go into an office and we'll see a bunch of other placards on the walls of, you know, Gold Star, this company, you know, Platinum member of this company or this distributor and everything, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of, like we talked about, that paints a picture, but that might not paint the whole picture. But that can give you some avenues to go and have those discussions. So, well, what do you like about these guys? Do you work with them? Is this who you buy through? Kind of asking those questions, but I think it's the general assumption that I don't know everything. And so if I pretend that I know everything, then I'm probably going to miss out. Mm. So, or their business practice might have shifted in the last, you know, period of time. So asking those probing questions is probably that. That's one of the things. There was a recent instance where when I was having a conversation with a company, quick service restaurant that we were working on some stuff with, and they're having their, so we talk in our acronyms all the time, right? You know, IP, POE, you know, POE plus, you know, all this other stuff.
Right.
And people look at us that IoT, aren't in the industry and are like, or if you do the new sales presentations, people look at you and are like, what are you talking about? I get that look from my wife all the time. She's like, I charts over here, man, what are you doing? Especially when we're quoting out parts lists and everything. But I was on the other side of that these guys were having a conversation. They're like, oh yeah, in the QSR industry and in our BOH. I'm like, sorry guys. Like, you know, I'm always bold enough and humble or confident enough to ask the somewhat stupid question rather than nodding along and acting like I know what I'm talking about or what they're talking about. So I'm like, hey, like you lost me here, guys. You're like, what's this? And they should, oh
yeah.
QSR, quick service restaurant, BOH, back of house. Okay. And I can kind of piece those things together based on the context, but not being afraid to ask those questions, be like, hey, like, hold on. You lost me here a little bit. Like I'm tracking with you, but what's this that I can, you know, I can accurately respond to whatever the next thing is. So, those are some of the things also that just asking those probing questions, but also, not being afraid to ask the questions to clarify things for yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think we come across those in the IT field who love those acronyms, right? Uh-huh. I remember an instance I was working with an IT guy and he's like, hey, can you go and grab those pile or it's a case of CDs. It's next to the POS. And I'm like, POS? Okay. And I actually walked over there thinking, okay, well, it'll stand out to me. And nothing that said POS to me stood out. And so I called him. I was like, hey, what is a POS? He's like, pile of stuff.
You, I was like, you kind oh of walked God. Over okay. with the, I'll know it when I see it. I'm sure I'll know it when I see it. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing.
I have confidence, you know, in myself. I can figure it out.
Oh, man. That's good stuff.
No, no, that makes sense, man. And thanks for that answer. Do you ever find resistance or reluctance from anyone that you're asking questions to when you're just trying to probe?
I think it depends on what you're asking, I suppose. Like if you're asking about your competition, you see them kind of clam up, but that's part of what comes from reading the room a little bit. That's something, not really, but if you can kind of see them be reluctant to answer, or the question for us might be, hey, how long, you know, I see these systems out here. How long ago have those been in there? How do you like them? You know, if it's not us or something like that, or even if it is us, sometimes they might be reluctant to answer, honestly. So you kind of read that a little bit. That just comes from some personal skills and experience in sales is reading the room a bit. And you're like, all right, well, that seemed to make them a little bit awkward. So let's change the topic and kind of move on from it, rather than pressing forward with it. So, yeah, but that's something else that I think I kind of had a note on at some point was, not being afraid to kind of clarify why you're asking that question. So if you say something that you see them kind of like, you see their eyes kind of look to the side and like, what's he getting at here? It's like, oh, okay. The reason I'm asking this is, you know, fill in the blank with whatever the purpose is for getting at that. But, not so much with reluctance to it. I mean, if you're in the sales side of it, if you're asking for that close, maybe, but no, not really that I can think of. Is there anything that comes to mind for you in particular?
No, I think I agree with what you're saying. I'm an energy person, so I can feel the shift in energy depending on the question that I ask.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's important too. Yeah. Like you said, it's the same thing as just knowing your audience, knowing the room, read the room. You know, you don't want to continue to probe with uncomfortable questions.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough meeting to get through.
Yeah. You see that shift. You're like, ooh, that was taboo. Like, oh, my bad. Like, or if you have a relationship, you'd be like, did I say something weird here? And they might explain or divulge more of like why that was an awkward question because of whatever the timing is and stuff. But being humble and reading the room is a smart thing to do, especially in sales.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what about your questioning style? How do you adapt your questioning style when interacting with individuals that, you know, with diverse backgrounds? You and I talk to technicians, we talk to salespeople, we talk to executive suite, you know, folks, and they're all from different backgrounds, right? So how do you adapt your questioning style?
Some of it is trying to get an understanding of who I'm talking to, either before the meeting or presentation, or, you know, during it. So oftentimes we'll have a conversation or set up for a presentation. I guess that's kind of what we're looking at, right? Is if we're giving a presentation or having a meeting of sorts, I might connect with whoever I'm setting that up with ahead of time, whether it's, you know, the office coordinator or the sales manager or, you know, production, whatever it might be. I might ask them like, hey, who's going to be in this meeting, so that I know ahead of time what level I need to present at, if that makes sense. While we're in the room, you know, a lot of times we're talking about a phone specifically when we're doing our presentations, is I'll you know, step up. And before I start my presentation, you know, I'll ask, you know, raise the hands. Who knows about a phone? Who knows who a phone is? And, you know, a bunch of people will go up, some won't, because there's newer people in the rooms too. You know, some people might've been installing a phone for 30 years. Some people might be brand new to the industry. And so when that's the case, I know that when it's time to go jump into those acronyms, then I have to dial it back and say, hey, here's what this means, you know, and kind of make sure that they understand what I'm talking about. Right. So when I say, hey, all the limits of your PoE or your IP technology, to the new person there, they're like, I don't know what that means, man. All right. So your IEEE standards, your 328 feet, you know, 100 meters essentially is what we're looking at for the cabling specs. Okay, cool.
Right.
You know, to kind of help break down the broader technology for them rather than just going deep diving into the weeds with everything. The other thing too is that I try to, I said, we go back to assumptions a little bit, is I try to, even though they might say that they know a phone or know the product well, kind of assume that they don't know the newest stuff or don't know all about it, unless there's somebody in the room that I know that I just did a project and walked through it all with. But That tends to be the assumption sometimes, especially with AFone, because we're a company that's been in North America for over 50 years. They say, hey, oh yeah, I know AFone. I've done that, you know, the two-wire audio-video systems. Like, yeah, we have that. Yes, that's exactly right. But we're talking about our IP stuff that we can grow out, you know, mm-hmm. to do an entire, you know, campus or whatever the case is, you know, a citywide deployment type of thing. And that kind of opens their eyes. So I, even when they say they know it, I kind of make some assumptions that you don't know all of it, so that I can kind of backtrack a little bit to present properly. So pertaining to the question specifically, I don't think there's really any shifts, or I don't shift anything in my thinking or approach. It just shifts the purpose of whatever question I'm asking. So each one of those persons that you mentioned, that, you know, the manager, the C-suite, the owner, the ops manager, or the technician, the salesperson, they all have kind of a different role in it. And so me trying to understand what their role is and what information they have, that's going to more so shape what questions I ask them. It isn't regards to their title or anything like that in the approach to it. It's more so this person has a specific knowledge set that I'm trying to glean information from so that it can help me to kind of shift things in the future or better understand them and their needs. So it more has to do with what information they might have that can benefit us in that conversation to understand their organization better so we can better serve them. Does that make sense?
Excellent. Yeah. No, very fine. I when I see you asking the questions that you ask, and again, it really, in all settings, whether it's in a with in front of a customer or in a company meeting, they seem very intentional. Is that something that you practice beforehand? Is it something that just naturally flows because you're curious? Any science behind that at all?
it is more of a natural thing now. And I think I got to give credit to our boss, Adam Reed, who kind of, and AFone in general, that I've kind of come out of my shell a little bit in my confidence in you know, who I am doing outside sales and presenting that with the backing of the company that I have and everything. But I generally feel, I think that I'm just curious to know, like, and if I have a question, I know I've sat in a number of rooms that when you step out of it, people start asking the same question that I had. And so I kind of figure, like, I understand things, especially if like a corporate meeting, I understand our product pretty well, but if there's something that pops up as legitimate question in my mind of like, well, what about this? Or how does this work together? Or what about this integration? How does this work? You know, I've kind of chalked it up a little bit, and this might sound arrogant. I promise that it's not, but it's more, even if it doesn't come across that way. Like I feel like that other people might have the same question that I have, but they're reluctant to ask it. And so just going to ask one because I want to know, like, even if nobody else is asking the question, I generally, genuinely want to know the answer. So I'm going to ask the question anyways. Mm-hmm. And I often get the look at some point during our sales meetings of, okay, no more questions, Roger. But no, but that's part of it though, is that it, to me, there aren't really any stupid questions, especially, you know, amongst us that are all trying to progress and learn and grow and everything. There aren't any stupid questions. The only thing that's kind of stupid is if you walk away not knowing the answer that you need, you know, so that's really kind of the key element that I have there. True. So again, it's more out of my own curiosity, is I want to know the answer to this question, but there's a decent chance that others might be thinking something similar, or if I speak up, it might prompt somebody else to be able to speak up and ask their question too. Mm-hmm. So again, I hope that didn't sound arrogant at all, but it's mostly my curiosity when stuff. I'm curious to know. And these questions pop up in my head. I try to hold on and filter them properly. But yeah, that's kind of my answer on that one.
No arrogance here noted at all from you, Roger-san. none at all. You know, I agree with you that, at least from my perspective, the questions that you tend to ask, is things I'm thinking of and things I'm not thinking of. So either way, it's beneficial, you know? And so I appreciate that. I know sometimes we'll get offline and you're like, man, did I ask too many questions? I'm like, no, man, they're good. It's good stuff. It really helps the dialogue.
Yeah. But in a meeting that I think we talked about this a little bit at our, during our five things to make a good salesperson episode, is in a meeting or a trade show, it's like, I want to know what you do. So how, because you and I both approach things from the service mindset of it, right? That my sales approach is service oriented, that I want to serve you, the customer. Mm-hmm. So I need to understand you more before I can present to you properly. You know, so that's really a lot of those questions that I'll dig into and ask, you know, it's kind of, you know, what sort of verticals you get into. And again, a lot of it's from curiosity, also wanting to do better in sales, but ultimately it's wanting to serve the customer better. So yeah, what kind of verticals you get into? What sort of solutions do you look to use here? You know, is it important for you to be an analog solution or an IP solution? You know, just kind of asking some of those things. And I think part of it too is this can go the bad way sometimes, but I'm not afraid to ask the questions that maybe like you shouldn't, like for instance, asking that question, like, well, what do you use here? Like who do you use in this instance or mm-hmm. why do you use them there? And it's genuinely wanting to know. It's not trying mm-hmm. to slam the competition in a sense, but like, well, what do you like about them? And I was having the conversation earlier with somebody is that, you know, there's plenty of business to go around. Like I'm not, if you use us for this and them for that, like, okay, cool. I'm just curious, like, what do you like about them? Because there are other companies that are mm-hmm. around that are doing things well also. That's why they're in business, you know, like, so I'm not here to shut down the competition, but I'm curious, like, what do they do well, you know, or what about this? Because some of it might be a misconception as to what we do or what we present. You know, I know you and I in the past, we've had conversations with customers. They'll be like, oh, well, we had to use these guys here because they had an IP solution. And I'm like, bro, I've been here six times talking to you about our IX series every time. And you don't think that we have an IP solution? Like, oh, you do that? Yeah, we do that. You know, so that might be kind of why we ask those questions too. Again, it depends on the relationship that, you know, that you have. But yeah, I think when people see that you're genuine, not just trying to mizzle them or anything, or try to steal their business or, you know, slam the competition or whatever, when you treat them with respect and are genuinely interested in them, they'll kind of divulge that information because you end up being trustworthy to them. And so again, it's not, mm-hmm. We're in the security industry. We like what we do. We like to know the big landscape of it all going on out there. So I'm genuinely curious, you know, AFone, we don't get involved in camera systems, but if they do, like, hey, why do you like these guys over these guys? Or on the wall, you see those two plaques of two, what in my mind would be mm-hmm. rival, you know, camera manufacturers. Why do you use these guys over these guys? Mm-hmm. I obviously see you do both of them. Like, what do you like about it? Because we'll probably integrate with both of them, but it's helpful for me to know, you know, where we would fit in with these guys and where they'd use our product and stuff. So it's more of just the curiosity. And I like hearing people's stories a lot of times too. So like whenever you ask, why do you use this here? Like, I want to hear what you have to say. Like there's a story, there's a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, I want to hear your story to that. Why do you use that
there? Yep. Yeah. Well said. I agree with that too. I do care about people's stories and backgrounds. I find them mm-hmm. interesting, you know, but let me ask you this too, just kind of as a follow-up to that. When you're prepping to go into a sales call, are there particular questions that you decide beforehand you want to ask, or do you kind of let it naturally flow? And again, like you said, read your audience or read the room, know your audience, and then that's when the questions kind of develop. Or is there any prep in that?
I've tried to be more prepared and have a. One of the things that our previous sales manager, Bruce, who brought me on with AFone, Bruce Rwinski, what he had said in a couple of times when we do some ride-alongs is have a reason that you're going to see these guys. Like, so when we'll go and see a customer, like, hey, all right, we're going to go see these guys. Well, why are you going to see them? Well, because they're a good customer and you're our mm-hmm. national sales manager. I want to show you the good customers, you know. But to me and thankfully to him, like that, well, thanks, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. You know, what we're looking for is, what are we looking to get out of today? You know, we're going to see these guys today. What is it to do? Is it, if the purpose is to introduce him and show them, hey, we care because I brought in, you know, the higher level manager, and that's value too, right? But like, have a reason for why you're showing up there to the office or why you scheduled a Teams meeting, whatever it is. That's kind of the start of it, is why are you there? And that's kind of the source of all the next questions that might come from it. is having a goal in mind. Something I've kind of noticed that whenever I'm asking questions, sometimes when customers, not that they don't give the answer that I want, but when they're not answering the question that I was hoping to answer, to me, I'll kind of own that. Be like, hey, like, sorry, like, thanks for that. Like, I think I asked this, like, what I meant by that is, you know, X, Y, Z, and to try and get the answer that I was holding on to. So again, you and I talked in the past about active listening and I promise, but in the mind, I'm like, oh, they're going a little bit off from what I'm wanting to get the answer to, you know? So I have a particular answer in my, I have a particular question in my head that I want the answer to. And so even though they're close to what that is, like I'll often kind of reframe the question to get an answer to the question that I wanted them to answer. And something that I find myself doing often, I almost did it right there, but asking the clarifying question of, does that make sense? And this is kind of a note that I made is I'd seen a meme somewhere. It says, when I ask, does that make sense? It's not because I think you're stupid. It's because I generally wonder, is the words that just came out of my mouth, if those make any sense to somebody listening to it. So, yeah, but that's an important thing, too, because it stops. You'd rather just continue on the monologue. It stops, and you get to say, you know, does that make sense? And then they can ask that question, like, oh, but what did you mean by this? You know, but that's something I think is helpful, too. Or you know, whenever I'm asking for that clarifying question of, hey, well, what I really meant, what I was really looking for was, you know, do you do X, Y, Z, you know? And then, you know, when they do it, you know, does that make sense? is the clarifying question that I'll ask sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think something that stuck out that what you said is, you know, you mentioned the word genuine. I think when you're asking questions genuinely, your energy, what you put off, the whole tone, it comes off as that. You know, there's books out there that will tell you how to, you know, frame and, you know, your sales call with questions and so, you know, kind of like gotcha questions because you're trying to back them into a corner,
right?
You know, to either close the deal or close the sale. And hey, listen, that's just not my style. It may work for some, but you know, I'm looking past the sale. I'm not, you know, like you, we're trying to build good relationships, you know, and being genuine, I think really goes a long way with asking our questions.
Yeah. I think at some point it comes to again, the service mindset of wanting to serve our customers that I think they see, I'm asking these questions, but it's not from the standpoint of, like you said, backing you into a corner of like, aha, and that's why you should buy my stuff. You know, it's going to the, it's going to, hey, that's like, right. I want to understand as much and I want to hear from you as much as I can so that I can understand what you need, how I can best serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that not something that I can help with? You know, is what you do and your business model and everything not something I can really jump in here with? And if so, like, best of luck, man. I'll high five you at the trade shows and everything. But, you know, if we're not, I can't help you, you know. But I think that's the part of it. Kind of go back to your question about it. Do I have a list of questions? Not really. Instead, I have kind of an idea of what I want to do there or answers that I want to get. And so that's kind of where I'll start it all. I don't, and kind of in all honesty, this podcast so far has helped me with my questioning and interviews kind of like up. It's kind of funny almost seeing some of the sales presentations or sales meetings that we do. Presentations are different because you're standing up there and monologuing for a bit. But when you're having an across the table meeting with somebody and learning about them and connecting with them, it's been, and honestly, it's been good doing this podcast because that interest in that questioning of the person, you know, the last episode, spoiler alert, or kind of behind the scenes, we recorded that one a little bit ago, even though it's posting just a couple weeks before this one. Sorry, I can delete this if we wanted to keep that a secret, but that episode about relationships was like, I listened to that on the way out to go do some sales calls that day. I kind of listened to the first edit recording of it and on it and hearing how Everett was talking about going deeper and connecting with the customers. Like I was able to kind of absorb that. And I found myself in that next over that day. I'm like I really want to know what these guys are doing and try to connect with them and working to connect with them more on that. So that's anyways, that's kind of off on a tangent as I'm also known to do. But that was in regards to the questioning part of it. That was it kind of goes along with that, is trying to connect and learn more from people and understand who they are. So, you know, take the sales part of it out of it. It's what we do mm-hmm. as far as outside sales or inside sales. Anytime we're talking to somebody, is we get to talk to other people, you know, and connecting people first, industry second, right. in a sense, you know, right. we're all together yeah. in this industry, but people first. And so it's kind of fun to work to connect deeper with that, and have these business relations mm-hmm. or personal relationships in the business realm is really kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Well, let me ask you this. And again, it's kind of a twofold question, but, in your opinion, what are the key attributes of effective questioning, and how do you continuously work on improving your questioning skills? So that first part, in your opinion, what's the key attributes to effective questioning?
One of them, we've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but is have a reason for asking the question. Don't just have your literal mm-hmm. checklist of questions to go through. In your mind, have a genuine reason for asking whatever question you are. And then on the flip side of that mm-hmm. is genuinely want to know the answer. It's not just, you know, and how about this? And then just kind of writing it down in your notebook and on to the next question, you know, like you would do or seeing like interviews on TV and stuff. So, right. All right. I asked that one, check mark.
Right.
Go on to the next question, check mark. Like as if the answers don't mean anything, because that again goes mm-hmm. against the connecting with the other person. So that's, you know, first is to have a genuine or have a reason for asking the question and be genuinely curious and interested in what the answer is to that. Not being afraid to kind of continue that conversation too, even if it has nothing to do with your sales presentation or your business or whatever. Like, don't be afraid to have conversations. So mm-hmm. that's the other thing I kind of noted on before, is that if you have a question and their answer didn't quite give you the answer to the question that you're asking for, does that make sense at all? As mm-hmm. I kind of touched on previously, that if their answer didn't really answer the question or the reason behind the question, taking a step back again, it's not that their answer was bad or anything, but you can ask the question, hey, the reason I asked this question is blah, blah, blah. You know, trying to let them know, like, thanks, I hear what you're saying, but the reasoning behind my question was this, you know, and, oh, okay, yeah, well, sure, right. we do this and we get involved in that kind of thing. You know, so that's another part of it. Another aspect of some key attributes is don't assume you know the answer. This kind of goes to some things that we talked about before with you know, my question at our sales meetings and everything don't assume you know the answer. Or like I said, even if you walk in and see all the placards on the wall of, oh, well, they must use, again, on the security side, they must use this access control platform. They use this VMS, they use these cameras. Or they buy from this distributor. Like that also might be placards from 2019. You know, like that might not be the most current stuff. So don't assume that you know those things. Or they might have had a major shift in their approach to market. You know, they might have dealt with data centers before, and now their focus of their market is high rise condos. You know, like you don't know. So don't assume that you know the answer. That's kind of a couple of those things on it.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. When it comes to, you know, just developing your skill of questioning, like what do you recommend improving on? Like, is there anything that comes to mind that you would encourage someone to, you know, how they can improve or how they could practice their questioning skills?
Nothing that comes to mind really, other than just having that heart of genuinely wanting to learn from people. Again, that goes back to one of our core tenets that you and I have is humility and not assuming that we know everything, but honestly, like, people are more skilled in different niches than we are. Like you and I at Aphone right now, we're the intercom experts, right? Like that's what we're known for. Well, I want to learn from you in these other places, you know? So, having that humility to learn from the customers, or if you're talking to a business owner, you know, small company, they built that thing, man. Like there's a story there. They have some successes. They built some stuff that I haven't, you know? So that's kind of the key element of it. I think is to practice on it. Just try to care more. But really like just being interested in people, not for the sake of making money and selling more boxes, whatever it is. People will see through that kind of for the most part they will. So to just have right. that genuine appreciation or asking stuff. I mean, well, I guess here's something you could do is, you know, talk to your neighbors, man. You know, most of us have neighbors around that you see from time to time or out uh-huh. barbecuing and stuff, or, you know, those that have dogs, you know, you cross paths with other dog owners and, you know, chit chat with them, you know. Again, this is something you talked mm-hmm. about your the last episode that we did is, you know, my challenge with that small talk chit chat and feeling kind of awkward. I kind of had the illustration the other day that came to my mind. It's from the movie Dumb and Dumber, where, you know, it's, oh, big gulps, uh-huh. huh? Well, see you later. You know, that's kind of, oh, yeah. that could often be my awkwardness when I see people out in the wild. But it's a helpful thing when yeah. in a business setting, you know why you're there together. You're not just making small talk. You're there for a reason in a business setting, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you have neighbors that you talk to for a while or something, it might not know each other very deeply. Just kind of have those conversations. Like, hey, well, what do you do? Where are you from? Yeah. You know, hopefully you know those things, but I'm guilty. I mean, there's a lot of people I still don't remember their first names a lot of times, you know, and or being willing to be awkward, I think, is one of the key tenets of that. And so that's something I've gotten better mm-hmm. with, is rather than like, well, I don't remember their name, but I've talked to them for the last like 2 years. Hey, I'm so sorry. I've totally blanked. I don't remember your name for some reason. Can you help me out? Like, and also I'll reintroduce myself because they might've mm-hmm. forgotten me too, but everybody likes to play nice, you know? So, other key thing to practice is not being afraid to be awkward, because that's kind of a vulnerability that breeds genuineness. Because like we've all been there. Like sure. it's awkward and somewhat feels like shameful to have to ask somebody their name again, even though they've told it to you two times. I was out at the park this afternoon with my daughter, and was talking to a guy with his kid, and you know, we've talked before and stuff, and he introduced himself, and so did I. Legitimately 10 seconds later, his name just went right out the other ear. I left him. I go, I'm so sorry, man. I immediately would start talking, you know, like your dog's name and your kid's name and stuff too. Like, I'm so sorry, your name again. Yeah. And you know, it's the humanness of it all, right? It's like, hey, like, rather than carrying sure. on and saying, oh, hey, how's it going, man? You know, man or guy or bud, whatever. Like, that's, you forgot my name, didn't right. you? You know. But yeah, I think that's one of the other kind of key things yeah. I can say that I can help with that is maybe that's even part of it is when you forget someone's mm-hmm. name. Some people are really gifted at that. I'm very much not. But mm-hmm. be willing to be awkward mm-hmm. and just ask those questions, because it shows the humanity. I think it expresses some of the humbleness in it and humility to say, mm-hmm. hey, like I forgot, because that's part of what goes back to the I don't know everything. Like, can you share this with me again? You know, and not to kind of belittle ourselves or anything like that. But I think that's an element that can kind of help in, again, just possibly mm-hmm. a practical tactic to help you be better at questioning is being willing to be awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I thought that's good advice. It's safe advice to practice on your neighbors. Because I think it's safe to say that most people enjoy talking about their business and their families. Mm-hmm. It's a sense of pride, right? For all of us, you know I enjoy talking about those things. And so when you're able to engage someone and the questions that, you know, are centered around, you know, hey, you've been here 25 years. Wow. You know, talk to me about that. And when did you start? Mm-hmm. What's the next plans? You know, wow, I see a picture of kids here on the desk. Are those two teenagers, you know, wow, you know, and yeah. you know, yeah, oh man, they've been playing soccer or basketball, this, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, it just gets into a sense of pride, right? And people love bragging about those things. And so, yeah, it's engaging. So I think that's it's a good advice to practice on your neighbors, practice on those around you, mm-hmm. Because I don't think you can go wrong with that.
Yeah. Like something we had talked about before is that everybody has a story. And in my opinion, like many people's stories are really interesting, you know, how did you end up here? Like that one day that I was on a drive after listening to the relationships recording, that we just posted, I went out to go see a customer, and like in hearing his story of like how he ended up where he was, like, it was fascinating to me, you know, and that was really, it's really interesting. Like, people have stories to tell. And I, in all honesty, I feel kind of awkward talking about myself. That's why sometimes why I ask a lot of questions is because I want to hear about you because your stories are interesting to me. And I love a good storyteller. But like you just said, though, even though I might feel awkward talking about myself, I'll talk about my daughter all day long. You know, my wife and brag on her and everything and all this stuff for the trips that we're doing and the places that we're going. Like, but I don't want to talk about me so much. But this other stuff, you know, expressing a key or a shared interest. That's something that people want to talk about. And that's just in bigger picture of it all is make the world a better place kind of thing is, you know, is just connecting with people, you know, like sales out of it, you know, A-phone out of it, connecting with people is a bigger picture of what's really cool about this world, you know, and all our diverse backgrounds and everything or viewpoints. Like I want to hear from you, you know, and what you have to say. It's interesting to me, you know?
Yeah, man. No, you know, hey, thanks for opening up about this stuff, man. I really appreciate it. I know it for me, it deepened my respect for you too, man. I have a high level of respect for you just on a, you know, personal basis here. And so kind of understanding some of the thought process that goes, understanding some of the thought process that goes behind, you know, some of the things I admire about you is cool. And that was one of many. So I'm sure we'll have another episode where I'll bring up another subject matter of what I like about Roger Kemnick. In fact, that sounds like a good episode title.
Oh my gosh. That sounds terrifying. Something I want to run for the hills for. Oh my gosh. We'll let you guys all talk. We'll have you and everybody else on the Western team. Wait, you know, share that one. That's a dangerous proposition, I think. Oh. Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
No, buddy. Thanks for opening up about this. Thanks for talking to me about it. And, you know, again, I'm sure this was going to be very, very beneficial to those listening that are in our industry.
Hope so, man. Thank you. Well, there you have it today. Everett flipped the script on me a little bit, and well, the back-to-back ones, looking forward to what we have in the future. So thanks again for joining us and sharing this time with us on the Security Guys podcast. We're your hosts again. My name is Roger Kimmick.
And I'm Everett Gray.
Until next time. Arigato.
Arigato.
That was a horrible arigato.